Welcome back to episode 80 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and today I am going to wake the reflections, specifically mine.
Oh, okay. Wake your reflection.
Yeah.
Very nice. And I'm your co-host, Mike Coyle. And so 2020 was the year of Commander, but you know, 2021 is going to be the year of Voltron, the year of 21 Commander damage.
That works.
Bringing it back.
It's the truth.
Please listen carefully.
Bringing it back. We're coming full circle here. Full circle here now. And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering.
But mostly Commander.
So, last week. What did we do last week? Nope. First thing. Quick update to all of our patrons. If you're waiting for us to send out a reward or like a prize that you've won, some of you have been notified. The mail's really slow and we actually just waited. We would like to wait until the new year to send out those prizes. We have not forgotten about you. So if you haven't received something, feel free to send us a message, email or Twitter or Patreon or wherever you can. Your prizes have not been forgotten and rewards.
Yeah.
They are there.
If you've ordered anything online and it's taken 4 weeks to get to you, even though it's being shipped out of a town that's like just a couple miles out and you ordered it just because you were lazy one day, that's why we're waiting.
You have an Amazon distribution center, what, a mile and a half from your house?
Yeah, but things coming from Amazon actually show up on time because it's an Amazon It's an Amazon driver that's taking the product from the facility to my house. It's gotcha. USPS seems to be just, they're just too bogged down. It's Christmas time.
It is Christmas time. Well, it's funny because we have a family ornament exchange that we do every year for Christmas, and we got a text back in November around Thanksgiving that like, so we all had to exchange names. So I got a text saying who I had to buy an ornament for, and I figured we were buying these ornaments and then we were going to get together next year or something. I don't know what I was thinking, I'll sure. be honest. I went back and I looked at the text and it was like, please make sure you order on time so it arrives at the person's house. And I was like, oh, this was like 2 days ago, Coyle.
Uh-oh.
And I go, well, they will not be opening my ornament until the new year when I buy it. Because I figured I just had way more time.
You should just order him a New Year's ornament instead. Be like, well, that's why it's late.
Yeah, a little champagne bottle ornament. I bet you I could probably do that. I should probably do that. I don't want to be the worst family member. Because I feel like I'm almost there right now. Because this year I just forgot.
Then you're going to find out this particular family member says, oh, Andy, I heard about your podcast. I've listened to every episode. They're going to listen to this episode. And it's all cast out of the bag.
Yep. They're definitely going to listen to the show. So, Gina, I got you. And you will get your ornament soon. So, we got to watch the Scrap Trawlers play with do their stream for No Kid Hungry for their charity event yesterday. So that was really exciting.
Yeah, with Dana and Alex of Commander Central.
Dana and Max.
Max
from Commander Central.
Max. Sorry, Max.
No. And we actually won some prizes.
Yeah.
I was blown away. I ended up for donations you got entered like into a raffle, and so I ended up winning the Simic Precon from Commander Legends and the Chandra's Signature Spellbook. So that was really cool. I did not expect to win anything. So thank you so much, Scrap Trawlers, for doing that.
Yeah, and I ended up winning a Grave Pact, which I definitely needed. It's like the one mono black card that I didn't own. I haven't owned for a while, I should say.
You did used to have a Grave Pact, but
I vaguely remember it
was bent.
It was $4.50 off of TCG players, damaged to the point where the person, after I purchased it, messaged me and says, hey, here's pictures of this just so you know what you bought and why it was the price. And I'm like, perfect. Sleeve playable. Not really.
Sleeve not really.
Double sleeved, maybe.
That thing was white on the borders and across the middle because I feel like someone had bent it forward and backward like at least 100 times.
Oh yeah. It was a good one.
That thing was destroyed.
So now I have this new one. I'll stick it in my mono black elves deck, which is getting extra support in Kaldheim, so I might not finish it until next year. But that's where it's gonna go.
Yeah. Yeah. And Last week was also our last live stream for the year. I guess we didn't even make that announcement, but you know, we stream on Thursdays, and this week is Christmas, and then next week is New Year's Eve. So we may have to do I don't know if we're going to do a random off schedule stream, but I didn't even realize that was our last stream for the year.
Yeah, last of our streams. Now, we did get the pleasure of playing with Tap That MTG earlier today, which was pretty awesome.
We did. Shauna and Leslie said, hey, you want to be on our show for our last stream of the year? So that was very exciting. I was going to wear a Santa hat and then could not find it. And then realized it was probably going to be so hot in front of the stream lights that I'm glad I could not find it, because I would have just been dripping sweat.
That's a good point. That would have been funny. That would have been great.
I did put on a red sweater, though. I have since changed into a t-shirt. I feel like now I am dressing up for our streams. You got to look nice. It's like, you know, when you go out and you put a button up on, you know, you finally put a belt on.
Oh, I'm such a trash person compared to that. When we have our streams on Thursdays, it was like, oh, I have to take a shower before this so I don't look like a disheveled mess. And I just put like a t-shirt and jeans. Like, I don't go all out. Maybe I'll prefer a black shirt over other things, you know, slimming colors, but
yes. So we had a lot of fun this past week. We got to play a lot of Magic, and I am 11 games away from hitting 365. I have gotten lots of messages from some folks. So I have 2 weeks left. About 2 weeks, just under, to play 11 games. So I will be hitting my 365, even though three or four of those games were the pinata specific variety of Commander gameplay.
You do bring that up like every time you talk about it, like someone is saying that those don't count because they were pinata.
I mean, I feel like they don't count, and I don't know why. I do. I guess I do bring it up every time because it's like I hit 365, but it was really only 361 because four of them were pinata.
What about when we played? What's the game
Maybe
type
15.
with six people?
That was last year, though, so that does not count towards this.
We didn't play it again at any point this year.
Mm-hmm. No, that was the Emperor format.
Yeah.
We did not play that. No, I don't believe so. I didn't count it if we did. I don't see a game where I've got six decks listed. I've only got at max four.
Well, that's actually pretty. And so you never went above four. I guess in online Commander, it's hard to. In Spell Table, it's impossible, I would think.
But I also don't like playing with more than four. The games go so long.
It's true.
So long. I played a three-hour game the other day, and that was just with four people. Imagine when you get to five and six.
Been there.
We have been there.
one of the earliest uploads on our YouTube channel, actually.
Yes, but you edited that down. Ugh. Well, before we get too far off, we have a new patron, John Martin. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate all of your donations. And if you want to support and you're listening and you don't currently, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod and donate for any dollar amount. We've got some fun prizes there, and we're looking to add some more in the new year.
Yeah, and if you're looking for another way to support the podcast, whatever you're listening to the podcast on now, or if you're watching it on YouTube, if you could like or follow, subscribe, leave some comments, anything that you would like us to talk about, anything that you think we should change, we're always looking for feedback. So if you could leave that, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yes. So, Coyle, what are we talking about this week?
This week, we're going to do kind of a recap of 2020. We're going to go through what 2020 gave to us in terms of Magic. We're going to avoid as much as possible what 2020 gave to us in non-magical forms.
Every other way.
And just kind of go through some of the sets. You know, what were our favorites? Which ones did we get to play with, not get to play with? Maybe talk about some decks that we built over the year, or maybe something that we took apart. We'll go over some of the ban and restricted. I don't even know if this episode's long enough if we just want to go over all the ban and restricted things that happened this year. But, you know, there's some new mechanics and stuff that was brought to our format. So we're just going to do a year in review.
Yeah, I'm really excited. So let's head to it. So you had mentioned earlier that this was The year of Commander. So last year, towards the end of the year, we did in fact get an announcement to let us know that we were going to be seeing some big changes for our favorite format, and that there was a big appetite for Commander. They were looking for reprints. People were learning how to play Magic through Commander. We were getting Commander decks that were coming out alongside Standard sets. Specifically, we had like Ikoria, Zendikar Rising. Commander Legends got some cards. So what are your thoughts on this year being the year of Commander compared to every other year?
Well, I mean, I think we got all of the resources this year to really make this the year Commander. It was the first year that we had Commander products released side by side with Standard products. Whether that was, you know, the actual Commander products that revolved around Ikoria, that was our Commander 2020 products, or the Commander precons that got released alongside Zendikar and Commander Legends. And going forward, we know Kaldheim's going to get it. So that was a big change in Commander with precons, and very nice to see them. I know you had just mentioned about people learning how to play Commander, so those precons are really important for people learning how to play Magic through Commander. But yeah, I mean, I think you could just say Commander Legends and everyone be like, yeah, okay, that's 2020. That's the year of Commander.
I kind of feel like this year the differences were we're finally seeing Standard sets come out with a ton of legendary creatures in them. And that, yeah. I think maybe next year and I mean, I guess any year after, perhaps we're going to see the same number of legendary creatures in Standard sets. And I think the difference is that the year really just had Commander Legends, right?
Yeah, big time.
I mean, because once we, I would assume like Modern Horizons and getting Modern Horizons 2, we're going to see a Commander Legends 2 at some point. So I feel like is that year the year of Commander number 2?
Well, maybe, or maybe every year from here on out, it's going to be the year of Commander. I mean,
I kind of think every year is the year of Commander now, especially if we're just going to add a ton of legendary creatures to the Standard format, which personally I don't mind. However, the FOMO feels kind of real. And I think this year made it so that the fear of missing out FOMO was not as bad.
No, because, you know, a lot of people were only playing on Arena. They weren't or in Magic Online in terms of their 1v1 format. So no one was missing out on buying things in paper and all that kind of stuff, except for Commander. And we only have to buy one copy of each. And it was easy to acquire the singles. I mean, even the collector's editions of everything, which started with Throne of Eldraine, made Standard sets really affordable. So if you were just looking to pick up singles, if it wasn't Oko or the Great Henge, you know, it was super affordable to pick up your singles for your Commander decks. It became a very accessible game type.
Right. Right. So we had a lot of sets come out this year. So let's go ahead and tackle those. We're not going to, you know, we're going to talk about things we like, maybe things we built, we're just going to talk in general about each set really. And, you know, starting out with Theros Beyond Death did come out in the year 2020.
Yeah. Did you remember that? only after doing the Google research.
Honestly, when we were doing the research for this podcast, I guess I didn't realize Theros Beyond Death was this year, but then I did remember. So this is the last set that I actually got to draft in paper at like my LGS. Mm-hmm. We had a draft every week. So I would try and go at least once or twice a month to try and draft. And I specifically remember I did not like this draft format because I couldn't figure out what I was supposed to be doing. And I was just grabbing colors that I liked. Cause if you don't, I don't always open bombs. I am not known for opening bombs in draft. I'm known for opening garbage and then somehow scraping by. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know how to do it. And I don't think I want a single draft of Theros Beyond Death.
Interesting.
Yeah. But, Coyle, did you know that based on EDH Rec, the number one commander for Theros Beyond Death is Siona, Captain of the Pylias? I never would have guessed that.
No, I had no idea. Is that the one that goes infinite with immortality?
It's not immortality. I can't remember the exact card that it goes infinite with, but it is the one that will make infinite 1/1 white human creature soldier tokens.
Yeah.
With a card. Is it the card Shield? I think it's Shielded by Faith.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes. So whenever a creature enters a battlefield, you may attach Shielded by Faith to that creature. And then it says whenever an aura becomes attached to a creature you control, you make a 1/1 white human. So that is that deck. So that is the number one deck.
Interesting.
Theros Beyond Death.
Did you
have no idea?
Did you build anything from Theros Beyond Death?
I have a Heliod Sun Crown deck that I do not enjoy.
Ah, okay. I had built New Purphoros, which was fun but very fast. And then actually, Atris Oracle of Half Truths was one of the first decks I built that I was really excited to talk about on the podcast. And then we went into quarantine, and Atris's Enter the Battlefield effect is one of the most difficult things in the world to resolve over webcam. So yep. I never played the deck, not once.
Not once. We've played against a few of these. I mean, we've seen a Utropia deck that was on our podcast. I've played with Athreos Shroud Veiled in a couple of decks. I was thinking about making Kroxa a CEDH version of Kroxa to play with a couple of other friends of the show who were looking for other gameplay videos to be created or streams. But Theros Beyond Death has lots of stuff that I guess I didn't realize was as popular as it is. And I remember Galia of the Endless Dance. That was one of those decks that seemed like it was like, finally, we have a Satyr tribal deck and there's only 280 of them. So it was not as popular as I honestly thought it might have been.
No, but there does feature people in that artwork yelling and screaming. So I do get to play with that card in a deck that I built this year. So, I mean, it got its use for me.
It did. It did get its use. And then next up was Unsanctioned. This was the box set, the unset that you mashed together two decks and then you played against one other person. So this was, and it came with, I think, 10 full art lands and five of them were promos. I did not pick this up initially because it was very, very expensive. And then when the price came down later and the popularity of it wore off, I picked up a copy. And it's fun to play, but obviously most of those cards are not legal in Commander. So...
Yeah, I actually, I keep seeing this box on shelves at like the big box stores, like the Myers and the Targets and stuff. And there's always like 10 deep of these boxes. This product doesn't, at least from surface view or however you want to say it, it doesn't look like it sold very well.
Yeah, I'm assuming it didn't. And then I also think the other issue is I believe it came out in February, and at least in Michigan, we started quarantine at the very end of February, beginning of March.
Right.
So folks that were going to potentially pick this up and play with friends or whatever may have just said, you know what? We'll try again next unset.
Next. Yeah. Which, you know, there's usually one every year, right? Or is that,
I mean,
not
at
true?
At least I don't know if it is every year, to be honest. We went from the original unsets for many, many, many years. So, but recently they came back due to popularity, but, I could go for unsets because, I really like those full art lands.
That's true.
Although we're getting full art lands now in standard sets. So maybe the uniqueness of that, which felt very unique to the unsets, and I guess the original Zendikar is feeling less unique, but I still really do like those because they're usually like borderless. I use unstable lands in like when I draft and stuff, and I would love to get more of those. They're just a little expensive.
Now, the unstable lands were the ones that got reprinted. I think the border is slightly different in the Double Masters VIP packs, right? There was two different land types. There was the Battle for Zendikar ones, and then also the I think they were unhinged.
They might have been I don't know if they were unstable. They might have been the unhinged lands. I didn't buy Double Masters. I don't know which lands came in that. I don't remember. Masters. I don't remember, but there was an unland of some sort that could have come in those, right?
That did
it
come
is,
in those.
They did. There were some by John Avon.
Yes, that sounds right.
They are not unstable. They are. Is it unglued or unhinged?
Unhinged.
Unhinged lands. Yes, I am seeing those now, and then I do see the other Battle for Zendikar full art lands.
Yes. So the different border on the unhinged lands, but the artwork in the middle, still the unhinged artwork.
Still unhinged. What came after Unsanctioned?
We got Mystery Booster, the retail version. Well, I guess the retail version came out just a little bit after the convention version, but the convention version obviously not available for purchase.
And the convention version was the one that we were very excited to play when we were going to go to Magic Fest Detroit, which was canceled about a week before it happened. So we never played with any of those crazy designed cards that never actually made it to print except in that special Mystery Booster convention edition.
Right. Right. But we did get to play the retail version. We did get to draft that. I think it was only once.
We did draft once. We had a bunch of folks that were in quarantine, and we were finally able to get together a small, we didn't even have eight people, and we got to get together a small group and play with that. And it was fun. I don't remember what I got whooped by, but I remember I got whooped by that. The Double Masters draft was much better. Mystery Booster, not so hot for me.
Yeah. Yeah, we did get to, Double Masters this year. So that was fun too. Those were the only two products that I got to draft this year. Had a blast drafting both of them. And I'm the one who opened the boxes, so I got to keep all the cards at the end, which is also exciting for me.
You did. I think I did open one box of Mystery Booster. I was doing it on a stream, and then I remember my stream cut out, and I don't remember... It was something with the hosting, and it was trying to send my connection to... like an area to that was not local. So it was like, it was trying to use like a New Mexico, like OBS, Twitch, whatever.
Interesting.
Or another. And it was like, because my settings were set to like use the next available. And so the next available was not anywhere near Michigan. And then my stream was just like, I lost everything. And it was like, you cannot connect. Why am I? And then I finally figured out you can just automatically set it. So now I have mine set to Chicago because that's close.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yes. So that did not affect any of our commander streams. But I know I opened that because I opened up like a Queen Marchesa. I opened a Marin of Clan Neltoth. You remember some of
this,
right?
Yeah, you did a sealed game or something. Sealed deck.
Yes. Yep, that was what it was for. And the sealed deck is still together, and it was a Marin deck, and I opened a lot of fun stuff. So there were a lot of goodies in Mystery Booster as well. And then some of those goodies that I opened got reprinted again later in the same year.
Yeah.
So Mystery Booster was cool. I mean, we got Yuriko back then, and we got Yuriko again later that we'll get to. But
that's true.
Mystery Booster was really fun, a really fun product to draft. And then up next was Ikoria.
Yeah, with the infamous alter art Godzilla at the very beginning, that is Death Corona.
Death Corona just
so happened to come out at the same time.
Yeah. So I forgot that happened this year. So the second print runs of Ikoria will. What was the name changed to?
I don't even remember. Death Cannon or something, or
it might be that.
We remember the original. OG only.
So the most popular commander from Ikoria, Coil, I'll give you a guess.
From Ikoria?
Uh-huh.
Including precons or not including precons?
It is not including precons.
Okay.
It doesn't look like it.
I'm just going to guess Nethroi. I don't think
it's right. It is Nethroi.
Oh, nice. Okay.
It is Nethroi, and then Kinnan, and then Winota, Riel, Aluna, and then Zerda. So Nethroi. Never seen a Nethroi deck, not at least in our playgroup, and we haven't had one on stream. Have you played against Nethroi before?
No. On Arena, I built a Nethroi Arena, a Brawl deck, but that's the extent of the Nethroi. I was going to build it at one point, and then it just feels like the same old song and dance Reanimator deck that everyone... thinks that I play all the time, and it makes it so that I don't want to build it anymore.
Yeah. Oh, the Space Godzilla Death Corona is being printed now, and if in any of those reprints is Space Godzilla Void Invader.
Ah, Void Invader.
Void Invader.
Void Invader equals Death Corona. Just remember.
Yeah, it said that you know, that happened in April. They said, you know, the word corona has taken on a new meaning, so we were unable to change the printing in time. So any new sets will have it with the alternate printing. That did happen in 2020. I forgot that even happened, Coyle.
Yeah. Oh, I was, you know that I sometimes, when a set first comes out, look at financial value and stuff. And that was a card they said they were going to rename and reprint so that the first print run was only going to have the Death Corona. So it sparked my interest and kept me it known, kept my brain worked, so it remembered it.
It stayed. You retained that information.
Thank you.
Also in April, we had the 2020 Commander decks and the Commander, which the 2020 decks that came out with Ikoria.
Yeah. First time that we've seen that side-by-side release and same theme with different cards. You know, not as a lot of reprints in those versus the ones that got released later on. So I really liked those pre-cons, personally.
Yeah, those commanders, Kalamax, Zexara, Gavi, Nest Warden, Zyrus, and Cathriel, and Otremi, were there six? Yeah, there was... Oh, no, Zyrus was not the head. That was...
Otremi.
Kalamax.
I thought Zyrus was Sultai.
It is a Temur.
Oh. Oh, yeah. Temur. Okay, yeah, you're right.
That's the one that I like to play against, because when someone hits me, I get to draw cards, even though they make snakes. I've lost to Zyrus, I think, three times on our stream.
Yes, Zyrus is pretty cool.
Zyrus is real good. Yeah. So, and you built Otremi. I did not build any of the face commanders from the 2020 set. I actually built one of the secondary commander partners, Nakara and Yannick, with the keyword counters, which I really liked getting this year in Ikoria.
Super unique, super fun. And I know you love all of your counters and your tokens and stuff. So
it's a nightmare to track, but it is very fun. Did I play that on stream? I think I played that on stream this past week. And I was doing a lot, but it wasn't enough. I did not get there, but that combined with the new Athreos from Theros Beyond Death does a lot. But I know that there's some CEDH decks that came out of the new Commander 2020 cards. Halden and Paco and Kazur and Ukima have some really competitive builds. And then the number of times I've lost to Bralin and Shabraz, the Sky Shark Rider and the Sky Shark, I can count on not on my two hands, I don't think, because I've played that deck a lot. Brian, former host of our show, built Bralin and Shabraz. And then I've lost to it with other various folks that I've played with on Spelltable.
Yeah. And I will say, this is my personal opinion, not the opinion of the podcast. We also saw the best card in terms of, like, just straight up best card printed of the year in this set being Fierce Guardianship.
Oh, I love that card. I love counter spells. And I like when they're specially free.
Free with no drawback after it's cast. Like a Pact of Negation or something where you have the drawback.
Yeah, I mean, I really like Deflecting Swat, and I think Flawless Maneuver doesn't get enough love.
For sure.
Gives your creatures indestructible. The green one's a fog. I do have it in a deck. The only one that I haven't played is Deadly Relic, which is exile target creature.
Which I tried to convince you not to play in your Grixis deck.
No, you did convince me. I decided not to put it in there after you suggested. You said, I don't know if this is the best option here. But because that competitive deck was partners, I have a better opportunity of having a commander out. So maybe that is a reason to run it. I don't know, but I really like the free. I like free spells. Not everybody does, though. I also really like partner, and we got partners with later to find out that full partner was coming back. Which it's, I also love.
It's hot.
So then we had Chandra Spellbook in Signature Spellbook in June. That was our spellbook for the year.
It kind of went under the radar a little bit.
It kind of did. I mean, there's a lot of cool cards in that spellbook. I mean, you got the Chandra Torch of Defiance. That's the Kaladesh one, which I remember was a menace when it was in Standard.
Oh, yeah. And Pyroblast and... what is the flashback card that I can't think of?
Past and Flames.
Past and Flames.
Yeah, you had Past in Flames. Fiery Confluence was a very popular card. It did finally get some reprints, which was nice. And then Young Pyromancer. I mean, you played that on stream with Tap That MTG this past week. Very good card. This is a good spell book. I mean, the cards in it, I mean, Cathartic Reunion is good. I forgot Pyroblast was in this. Pyromancer's Ascension, was that a card that originally came out in Modern Horizons? Is that one?
I don't think so.
I forget. There was some card that cared and counted things. I've lost to it, whatever the card is. I know it when I see it. Maybe it's not this. And then after that, we had Core Set 2021.
Yeah. This was the Core Set Teferi, which I was dreading. But then it ended up not being that bad in terms of Teferi. So I got a few fun cards, like Teferi's Tutelage and stuff. But overall, I don't know if the set brought a ton. I know you used a card from Core Set 2021 on me kind of recently, and that's the one where it just ends the turn.
I did get to end your turn with Discontinuity.
Yeah.
And that was very fun to do. And folks on stream were even like, I forgot that card existed.
Yeah.
I forgot it was printed.
Yeah, there was a lot overlooked in that core set. People are usually not too excited for core sets, so I understand that.
I think the things that people remember, maybe it's just me, is like Mangara the Diplomat.
Oh.
Was card draw on white.
That's such a good point. I have not seen a single Mangara played in Commander this year. And we talked about how this is fixing white's card draw. It's not really, but it's like, this is a step in the right direction. Never saw one.
I haven't either. I built my Veto Thorn of the Duskrose deck, and then this gave me my Fiery Emancipation for Torbran. So now I can deal triple the damage from my red permanents or red sources.
Yeah, and did this also give that that goblin stuffy doll?
Was this the goblin stuffy doll? I think it is. I'm scrolling through right now. I'm not seeing it though.
This is Brash Taunter, Core Set 21. Yep. Indestructible 1/1.
Yeah.
Core
21 did give us some cool stuff, I guess.
I got hit for 36 for my own Oryxmithes through a Brash Taunter and a Fiery Emancipation this year. Mark that off the bucket list.
You did get nailed by that. That was pretty funny. That was on stream. We have that captured somewhere. Go find that. Then we had Double Masters following up.
Mm. I, for one, loved this set.
We did get to do one Double Masters draft as well. We had everybody quarantine again so we could get together with a small group. And I crushed. I lost one game the entire draft.
Yeah. You and your Wormcoil Engine.
I got Wormcoil Engine. I got Joyra Weatherlight Captain. I got all the red and blue artifact synergies. I got all of them. Yeah. I don't think that anyone else got any. I kept them all to myself.
No, we saw someone draft Tron. And then you got Artifacts Matter. And yeah, those are the two decks I remember.
Yeah, because I lost to the Tron player. Yes.
Ah, okay. I lost to everybody, if that makes you feel better.
It doesn't, but I do remember we were paired up first round, and I got a Wormcoil Engine, and then I was making copies of Wormcoil Engine.
Yeah.
The actual Wormcoil Engine. And you were like, are you kidding me right now?
It's like, I have an equipment that gives my creature +3/+0, but if it detaches, my creature dies. That's what I had.
Yeah, I enjoyed Double Masters. I think I just did singles for this set for the most part. There wasn't anything specifically that I was looking for, but this is where we saw Send Triplets reprinted.
Yep.
And the price of Send Triplets like plummeted.
Yeah, I guess Send Triplets technically got reprinted in Mystery Boosters as well. Only
right. It was only in a both. Foil.
Yeah.
You are correct.
But yeah, I mean, the big controversy with Double Masters was how expensive the VIP packs were at $100 a pack. But it was quickly realized that these borderless cards that you were getting in it were paying for the packs. It's Wizards of the Coast pushing for premium artwork and stuff. So some people like that. Some people don't. Some people like Pringles.
Some people like Pringles. We also had Jumpstart this year, one that I did not have on our list here. I knew I was going to forget one. We had Jumpstart. Jumpstart gave Commander a ton of goodies. The issue, there was no availability.
Yeah, it's not printed too good the first time around.
I mean, it's still not really that available. I mean, our local LGSs don't really, I mean, you can get your hands on some now. Mm-hmm. And there's packs you can find, but the most built deck from that set is Tiny Bones at 387. I mean, there are, oh no, Emile the Blessed, there's 1,000 decks.
Yeah, the Unicorn Tribal, baby. Or just Blink.
No, 897. That was just the number of cards it's in. But yeah, the Unicorn, real, real great there. You have Xurzoth. You built Xurzoth from this deck.
I did. That was a really fun deck to throw together in 20 minutes. That was interesting.
But like, you're still winning with it almost.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Like most weeks that you play it, you almost are the winner.
I'm definitely a contender every time I play with the deck. It's surprisingly good, and I think it has everything to do with the disruption of other people's hands. But I know that we got Allosaurus Shepherd in that too. That was the big money card, I guess, in the Elves pre-con because it was being played in Legacy mm-hmm. Elves, because that's still the only place it's legal in.
Still $75 to $100.
Yeah, and if you didn't get that, then oh darn, you got a Crater Hoof in that pack. Those are your two possibilities in your Elves pack. So
I have gotten two Crater Hoofs, and one Allosaurus Shepherd. So I do have one. Don't have an Elf deck, but it looks like we're getting some Elves next year.
Yeah, we're getting green and black Elves in green. Kaldheim.
And then after that, what did we have?
We had Zendikar Rising after that. So we're getting to kind of modern. Well, when I say modern, I mean like yesterday. Era. Yeah, this quarter.
Things we still remember.
But Zendikar Rising was cool. I mean, we got double-faced modal lands, which, you know, people are still arguing whether or not they're good for Commander.
They're good.
I think they
are. They're good. Yeah, they're good now.
Now they're good.
I always thought they were good. Yeah. I think the overall now is when people try them, they're like, oh, this is good. I'll take three.
Yeah,
I'll play with three of them.
And now we're finishing that cycle in Kaldheim, so that'll be good for Commander. But we did also
the pathway lands.
Yeah, we're finishing the pathway lands. But we did also get the fetch lands technically reprinted with this set as box toppers in the collector's edition packs.
And I did. This is the first time ever that I bought some collector's editions, specifically because I wanted to open some. And I did well. Again, I don't suggest chasing for that gamble. It is very fun to do, but you know, they are very expensive.
Yeah,
I will leave it at that. We also saw Omnath, Locus of Creation. We got crushed by that on stream once. Mm-hmm. Ashaya. Surprisingly good. We've seen that on our stream twice. What else? I built Kaz a Royal Chaser. And Marag has I was the first person to misplay it on our stream.
Oh,
because
wow.
You gotta play the land after. You know, you can't play it main phase one.
Well, yeah, you can. It just doesn't work as well.
You can, it just doesn't do the job correctly.
Yeah. I ended up building Phylath for one of our budget builds. We did a Zendikar Rising budget build this year. And that's where your Kazaa deck came from. Mm-hmm. And then I did upgrade my Phyleth deck, so it was a little bit better. So right. that was fun, but that's pretty much all I built from Zendikar Rising. Zendikar Rising I didn't love it. Wasn't my favorite set in the world. I didn't really need any of the new landfall stuff or anything. And I don't know. It didn't excite me.
My Omnath Locus of Rage got a ton from this set. I think Zendikar Rising did more for my decks than any other set this year.
Interesting.
Including Commander Legends. I mean, the double face modal cards I added them to every deck. I don't know if I have a deck that doesn't have a double face card from Zendikar Rising in it now.
Other than monocolor decks. Although you might have...
There are amount of... I mean, in green, I'm playing Balaged Recovery in all of my green decks.
Okay.
I'm playing the black one and all... I'm pretty sure every single deck of mine has one because I even like the mythics with just the land on the other side.
Yeah.
Like I would, if you have a basic you can afford to cut and you opened one of the mythics, it's worth putting in.
You just say cut a land. You just cut a land, Andy?
I replaced a land.
Cut a land.
With a land.
Cut a land with a card that's not necessarily a land. I'm just want to put it on the record. That's all I
put it on the record. Then we had Commander Legends.
Yeah, Commander Legends obviously was a huge, huge set for us. I've built like 3 or 4 decks just from Commander Legends so far, or because of the impact of Commander Legends, I'll say. The Monarch is why I say it the way that I'm saying it right now. So yeah, it was a super great set. We haven't had an opportunity to draft it yet, but I'm sure once this vaccine gets distributed properly, we're going to draft it like crazy.
Yeah, no, I would really like to draft this. I built the Liza Shroud of Dust deck for one of our streams. I built Malcolm Vial Smasher for a CDH stream we've mentioned before. I have not built any other decks yet, just because it was... there were a lot and it was too much to think about and I hadn't decided what I wanted. And I know I've mentioned before, there's a couple decks that I wanted to build. I just haven't done them yet, but I did get, swept by an Arami of the Dead Tide the other day. I guess I should say I had to mill them out because they brought back Grey Merchant and dealt 27 damage to us.
Yeah. It's a good
27.
Card.
Yeah. When 3 of them came back and I went from 29 to 2, I realized how strong Grey Merchant is with Arami.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah. It's real good. There's so many. I can't wait for someone to fully unlock the potential of Arami.
I think it probably has been. We just haven't experienced it yet.
Yeah. Right.
And you haven't fully put yours together, but I know you have at least a deck list.
I've got a deck list.
And I would like to play Blim Comedic Genius, but obviously I can't play that over webcam. So maybe when we can all get together and I can give away my permanents again.
Yeah, and Blim, in case you want to, Blim is from Ravnica. So it can be your Rakdos Ravnica commander.
Okay. I need to find a Boros one. I'm still looking for a Boros one.
Yeah, you got me there. You got nothing.
I still got to find
that one. Play the old, what's the soldier's name? The named soldier.
Ogre's Core.
Nope. The one that he was printed in Ravnica, the first Ravnica set. Three mana, haste.
Tajik?
Yeah. Tajik. Yeah. The old Tajik that's indestructible and you play World Slayer and then you destroy all permanents on the battlefield except for Tajik because he's indestructible. Just do that.
Is that Tajik?
Yeah. The original Tajik?
It is when you swing. Oh yeah. Okay, no, you're right. Yeah, the one from Dragon's Maze, so the second time to Ravnica.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I guess that's a deck I could build. I just don't want to build that. I don't want to build that.
That way when people are like, oh, don't you have a Boros deck you can play? And you bring that out and you go, you really want me to play my Boros deck? And then you get to play whatever you want.
No. Gross. And then the last product we had was Commander Collection Green that had actually just come out this month.
Yeah.
So you can pick that up. I saw that at our LGSs have those in stock now.
Yeah, not as outrageous of a price as I thought it was. It kind of started that way, but then... the brick and mortar started getting them and they kind of came back down in price. So affordable, which is nice.
If you want them in foil though, I don't think that they're still reasonable.
Some brick and mortars didn't get them. That's how.
I think most didn't get them.
Yep. That's why they're so expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. So that had just come out. So those are the products that came out this year. Lots of stuff, lots to digest there, lots to unpack, but you know, We're doing some reflections today. We had some more stuff that had come out that I guess is product, but you know, a little different.
Yeah.
So we had Secret Lairs.
Yeah, tons of Secret Lairs, which started middle of last year, I believe, like them doing the whole Secret Lair release or whatever. So we had a full year of Secret Lair this year. So we started with the New Year's, which was Year of the Rat Secret Lair.
I did pick that one up. I did not end up building a rat deck. I bought it. Now I have rats that I don't need.
I mean, who needs rats, right? Everyone's got to get
rats.
Rid of them.
I have rats.
And the second one we saw was Theros Stargazing, which was the last set that got released kind of before the whole pandemic started. And mm-hmm. the printing of this was very controversial. People had to wait months and months and months to get it, and they were wondering why. And
I got mine like 2 weeks later. Yeah. I think this was the one that I ordered immediately, and I'm using almost all of them. I really like the original Gods, and I love Constellation, the Constellation artworks. So this one I did get, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, very, very cool. And then
next was International Women's Day.
Yeah. So this was a really cool one with all the different alternate arts for like Marin and Saskia, some Sisse, some really, really big names in magic lore.
Narset, Enlightened Master.
We don't have to talk about Narset.
I love it. I did not pick this one up. I love it. We actually got to play against, or I saw some of these on stream just the other day. Tap That MTG had a guest who was playing the fancy Narset. Love it. And then after that was Thalia, Beyond the Hell Vault.
Yeah, four different artworks of the same card, Thalia.
Four different artworks of Thalia. I play Thalia in my Sigarda deck. I did not purchase this. I picked up a single of the one where she's like stabbing at Eldrazi tentacles. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I don't like the card personally, so I didn't pick any of them up. It's a good card. Don't get me wrong. Just don't like it. The next set we saw was the Godzilla land. So these were just basic lands. Just with Godzilla in them, or Godzilla characters. Just were they all Godzilla?
Basic lands. They all had Godzilla in them.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. And those ones are actually some of the more expensive resale for some of the secret drops. Most of the lands are. But yeah, the Godzilla lands in particular.
Eldraine Wonderland from last year was also very expensive. Yeah, Godzilla lands.
Yeah. And then we saw the first big super drop. So the summer super drop, which had Secret Lair Tattoo, Secret Lair Ornithological Studies, Secret Lair Path Not Traveled, Secret Lair Heart of Steel, and Secret Lair Mountain Go. I didn't end up picking up any of these, but I know that the tattoo one was kind of up my alley with the Ink Moth Nexus in there.
I did not pick any of these up. I did singles again. We're very lucky. We have multiple LGSs that buy lots of these. So I got to pick up the Planeswalkers that I play in my Jota deck, and then I picked up the Swan Song from the Ornithological Studies.
That's a good card.
It's beautiful, a great card. Beautiful art. And then Prime Slime was next. I did get Prime Slime because I do run a couple of them. So I am running those in, I think, two of them in my Gerard deck. I've got the acidic slime in there. I've also got necrotic ooze in there. I threw a void slime into my my Simic Voral of the Hulclay deck just because mm-hmm. it's a cool spell. So I picked up Prime Slime, and then we had Every Dog Has Its Day, which I know you ordered.
Yeah, I picked up my Every Dog Has Its Day, which has like Dig Through Time and Rest in Peace and a few other good cards. So those are cute. They all feature dogs that were owned by makers of Magic content, like the card game of people that work at Wizards. That's what I meant to say.
and then there was Happy Yargle Day.
Yeah, that was our April Fool. No, that wasn't April Fool's release.
It was not. Nope.
Yeah, just all the Yargles all the time.
It happened.
It was a set. It happened on September 3rd, 9/3, because that's Yargle Day.
Yes.
Now I remember.
Yes.
So then we saw the Showcase Zendikar Revisited. So that had a few Zendikar cards in there. Reprinted. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear much about this one.
Didn't pick that one up. I already have an alternate art of the Avenger of Zendikar that came out with the Eldrazi versus Zendikar dual deck. So I did not need to pick that up.
Gotcha. And then another controversial one that came out. This is the Walking Dead crossover. So this featured six brand new cards, five brand new legendary creatures straight into Magic legal play that are not really Magic universe characters, just Walking Dead characters.
Yeah, I didn't know any of them. So when the names came out, I just looked at what the card did. I could use a Rick. Rick Grimes, is that his name?
That's his name, Rick Grimes.
I could use a Rick Grimes for my Sigarda deck, but I did not pick it up because I did not I did not need it.
Yeah.
There was no need for these cards for me, so I figured I'll just get singles if I would like them later.
Yeah. I did. I ended up picking up this set, and I'm building my Morophon Humans deck, which is going to feature all the humans that were in the set, because they're all pretty darn good, if I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then we had Extra Life 2020, and this one we both picked up, right? Yes. picked it up.
Yep.
Yeah. I love all the cards in it, and I love the charity.
Yeah, absolutely amazing cards. Artwork that all featured children for the Extra Life Network and everything. So
yes.
Very, very cool. And then the final super drop, the final secret lair that we've seen, unless there's going to be another one in the next 9 days or 10 days, was the Secret Versary super drop. So we have Box of Rocks, Seb McKinnon, Happy Little Gathering, Party Hard, Shred Harder, and We Hope You Like Squirrels that got released there. So I ended up picking up a Seb McKinnon and a Happy Little Gathering. So
you did get the Happy Little Gathering?
Yep. I got those lands.
The Bob Ross lands are so cool.
They are really cool.
So those were the products that had come out. We had some banned and restricted announcements and a rule change. I guess we'll do the rule change first. Companion from Ikoria was changed. You used to just be able to play it from the special companion zone, and then it became a pay 3 generic mana and put it into your hand.
Yeah, it got really a lot weaker, but...
it kind of took it out entirely.
Yeah.
I still see Yorian decks, and I get sad every time I see them in standard.
Have you ever seen a Lutri deck, just out of curiosity?
No.
Yeah, didn't think so.
Nope.
The otter.
Never seen Lutri.
The otter was murdered.
The otter did get murdered immediately. We also had a bunch of bannings this year. We don't have to go through. We could do them real quick. Here, let's read them real fast. I'll start with standard, and then you do the next set.
Okay.
So standard, we lost Agent of Treachery, Fires of Invention, Wilderness Reclamation, Growth Spiral, Teferi Time Raveler, Cauldron Familiar, Omnath, Locus of Creation, Lucky Clover, Escape to the Wilds, and Uro.
And in modern, we lost Mox, Opal, Oko, Mycosynth Lattice, Once Upon a Time, and Arkham's Astrolabe.
In Brawl, which we did play a lot earlier this year, Golos, Lutri, Dranith Magistrate, Winota, Joiner of Forces, again, Teferi Time Raveler, and again, Omnath, Locus of Creation.
And in Historic, we again lost Oko, again lost Once Upon a Time, we lost Veil of Summer, again Agent of Treachery, again Fires of Invention, we lost Nexus of Fate, Field of the Dead, again Teferi Time Traveler, and again Wilderness Reclamation.
Legacy, which I do not follow, lost Underworld Breach, Lurrus of the Dream Den, Zerta the Dawn Waker.
Yeah, and in Commander, we only lost Lutri. That's
it. We lost Lutri. Pioneer, they unbathed. Unbanned Oath of Nissa, but then there was a banning of Inverter of Truth, Kathis the Hidden Hand, Walking Ballista, and Underworld Breach again.
Yeah. And in Vintage, there was only one ban. It was Lurrus. So kind of a problem.
And then Pauper lost Expedition Map and Mystic Sanctuary.
Yeah.
So there was a lot that happened.
It was the year of BNR as well as the year of Commander.
We also had a pretty big thing that happened earlier this year. We removed a lot of cards and were banned from formats based on depictions of racism, specifically Invoke Prejudice, along with a various list of cards that were no longer something that the company stood for and something that they had said these shouldn't have been printed. There were some potential issues related to the card number based on the gatherer. So those cards were actually removed and are no longer on the website and are banned. That did happen this year. I didn't own any of the cards, but that was certainly a big point of discussion for a while after that happened.
For sure. Yeah, we know that we had some events that happened where they were raising money to raise awareness where, you know, these cards were ripped or burned at the end of it, which I thought was kind of cool. One of our LGSs actually did something like that with a copy of Invoke Prejudice, which was pretty cool to see a community stand up together like that.
Absolutely. So, you know, there was, you know, there's lots of stuff that happened this year. Obviously we I don't know if there's a ton that we missed here. I think, overall we had, you know, from a Magic perspective, at least for the Guardian Project, we met a lot of people. We got to play a lot of games. For us, we had a very good year. We do hope that everybody else also had a good year. Coyle, final thoughts, 2020 Magic the Gathering.
Okay, so Grand Prix Las Vegas 2021 is going to be so lit with all of the people that we have met. And I don't say that phrase, so lit. I don't do that. But Las Vegas 2021 is going to be amazing, meeting all these people in person that we have been getting to know and love throughout this whole year of our online experience. And this is actually my first full year with the podcast. So I was here all 52 weeks. So that was it's been a really great experience. And as crappy of a year this has been for the Guardian Project and all the friends, it's been pretty darn good, actually.
Yeah, I agree. We were planning on doing Las Vegas this year. Obviously, everything got canceled, so we can't wait to see all of you in person. And we will be there, assuming everybody's safe and can be there. And I think that's it. That's the wrap for this week. So we want to thank you all for listening. If you want to contact us, you can find our podcast online at theguardianprojectpodcast.com. You can find our social media on Twitter at GuardianPod and our gameplay videos at youtube.com/theguardianproject. And you can email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at ATFlory.
And you can find me on Twitter at WormcoilEngine. And we want to give a special thanks to our producer and editor, Ryan Nichols. Shout out to you. You the best. And also to Chris Wolf, who creates all of our thumbnails and overlays for our videos and streams. You are equally the best. Thank you very much.
You are both equally the best. And everybody have a happy new year. And we will, we look forward to talking to you all again in 2021. Bye, everyone.
See you next year.